Luke 5, we're still in verse 15. But so much the more went there a fame abroad of him, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed of their infirmities. We did the much more. But I don't know, I just want to, this one thing, this word, this one thing I just love, where it says there was a fame, there, or, the, wait a minute, but so much the more went there a fame abroad of him. It literally says, the word walked about. Because it's, there went is walk about, and fame is logos. So the word walked about, which just is incredible because it means that something was going on that wasn't necessarily with regard to people's speech. It was because this mystery of emptying took place. What?
Well, and then emptying generates
stuff we can't even realize.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it takes you places.
The tongues walk about. Okay. But so much the more went there a fame abroad of him, and great multitudes came together. And the word for multitudes there is that word for common people. Came together to hear and be healed. To hear is this word akouo. And it means to consider. It doesn't just mean to hear. It means to you hear, but then you consider what is said. More than consider, though. You consider what is said, and you try to find something wrong with it. It's like, remember the only time the people were ever commended? It says in Berea that the Bereans were commended because they searched the scriptures daily to see whether these things be true. And the things were the things that Paul had said. Paul said amazing things. So they searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things be true. And therefore then within them they had the witness of the preacher. They had somehow a witness within themselves. And then they had the witness of the word. And all three are necessary.
But and all three agree.
All three agree.
Yeah, that's pretty powerful.
All right. To be healed is this, not eonomai, which is the normal word. It's therapaiu. It means, and it literally means a physician's to attend upon a patient.
Can I go back a second?
No.
You were talking about hearing, considering, looking for something wrong. It made me think of that's the same way we eat. We take a bite,
yeah.
And we see, is there anything wrong with this bite? Is it bitter? Is it sweet? Is it tasty?
Is it rotten?
Is it whatever? Yeah, and we, if it's okay, we go ahead and eat.
Did the whipped cream start to turn?
Yeah, things like that.
But then, I had that experience.
And the word's the same thing. We hear, and if it's all there, we digest, we take, we open up, and we receive.
Amen. Their infirmities is asthenia, which means weakness or being feeble. And it's the negative of strength. Strength is stenos. It's the strength to produce results. Asthenio is weakness, feebleness, inability to produce results, but it also includes lack of understanding. And so let's go to 2 Corinthians 12. I think we did study it, but it won't hurt to study it again.
Yeah, well, I guess 2 Corinthians 12 is up here.
Yeah, we'll study.
1 through, and then there's nothing.
Yeah, we'll go. We'll say this again.
Just think further of something you said a long time ago that never leaves me, is the Word of God is its own dynamic.
Amen.
I was thinking, comparing that to taking a bite of food, the nutrients in that food are its own dynamic, and once you've taken it, you have nothing to do with it.
Right.
You've eaten it, it's going to do what it's going to do.
You can't stop it or make it can't stop something better
unless you
it does its thing.
You stick your finger down your throat.
Yeah.
Well, if you drink, if you're leaving Korea and you're celebrating and you drink 2/5 of sloe gin and you get so sick you can't even, you'd wish for death, something like that. Been there, done that.
Is he talking about you or is he talking about him?
No, I'm
talking about men.
He wasn't in Korea.
I was in Tijuana.
With sloe gin?
Tequila.
Oh, tequila.
Laid in the ground and waited for a car.
2 Corinthians 12. Paul was taken up to third heaven and he heard words unspeakable.
Where are you at?
2 Corinthians
1. He's talking
2 Corinthians 12.
One.
We're just looking now at 4. He was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words.
Yeah, we had that here.
Which is not lawful for a man to utter. I know, but we're looking at it again. Unspeakable words, meaning there were no words to describe it. There's no words to describe eternity. And secondly, it is not lawful. It's not only not lawful, it's not possible to use words to describe it. That's why you only can describe it in parables. Of such a one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. The only thing he glories in is in his weakness or his feebleness. Well, that's amazing.
What does that sound like?
What does that mean?
Boy, am I weak.
No. You glory in your infirmities. In your weakness. In your inability to accomplish. In your illness. In your pain. That means you understand it so well that his strength is made perfect in your weakness. And this is the opposite of what we hear and for most of the church today.
It seemed like he wasn't going through it.
Well, it's because you still pay attention to what your mind and emotions say.
You say, I hurt.
And you glory in that. Praise the Lord. I'm counted worthy to suffer for the body of Christ. There's nothing happening to me. I'm a partaker of the sufferings of Christ. There's nothing happening to me. I no longer exist. Oh, let's go on. Let's read it. For this thing, let's go down to verse 8. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect, or revealed in its perfection, in weakness. Most gladly will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecution, in distress, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. If you can understand this, and if you can live this, then there finally will be power in your life. And your words will have strength and power and their own dynamic instead of just a bunch of words and philosophy. Amen?
Amen.
Let's go to 2 Corinthians 13. It's right next door.
Right there.
It's right next to 2 Corinthians 12.
Don't even
have to turn the page. 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5. Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know you not your own selves, so that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates. And this should scare the crap out of you. Because unless you know it, that you know that you know that Jesus Christ is in you, then you cannot repent. All you can do is wish for your condition to be different. This is the basis of how you walk, how you live this life. And reprobate, it's a technical word. It means incapable of repentance. I trust that you shall know that we are not reprobates. Now I pray to God that you do no evil, not that we should appear approved, but that you should do that which is honest, though we be as reprobates. For we can do nothing against the truth, but for the truth. For we are glad when we are weak or feeble, and you are strong. And this also we wish, even your perfection. Doesn't get any stronger than that. It doesn't matter what the weakness or feebleness is. If it's an ability to be healthy, that's not your business. If it's an inability to accomplish, to have a successful marriage, that's not your business. You glory in it for the time so that you can see the mystery of Christ in it. All right, back to Luke 5. So, and again, this is the same, really the same thought. All the great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed of him by of his infirmities, and at the same time, he withdrew himself. And literally it says multitudes were coming together, but he was engaged in withdrawing himself. Why?
Even why they were coming, I think.
Yeah, there was people there with infirmities.
Anybody understand?
Came to see a show?
Well, yeah, the great multitudes coming together was the numbers meant nothing to him. He always and ever was directed by the Father. It mattered not whether multitudes were coming or there were no multitudes coming. It mattered not whether he was accepted or he wasn't accepted. His only position was before the Father. Now that has to be, that's your and must be your position. Now it's difficult. You know, you've heard me say many times, when it became clear that I was going to teach, no matter how much I rebelled against it, I set aside one night a week. Tuesday night. And most of the time, for the first few months, absolutely nobody came. It wasn't my business whether anybody came or not. Now, I want you to put yourself in that position.
You didn't go out looking for people, witnessing to people to come and hear you?
No.
Did you feel sorry for yourself?
No.
You must have gone through something. What was it?
No, I knew.
Didn't matter.
Didn't matter.
You never thought that you were wrong?
No. That was cemented when I was under the bridge. God revealed or spoke to me.
A couple of days you was under the bridge?
What? I didn't hear what you said. What did you say, Robbie?
You're making fun of
me. What did you say?
You said you're a couple of days under the bridge.
All right. The point of this, let's go to Galatians 2.
Well, that's a big point here.
Yeah, tell me about it.
Because typically that's when the tempter comes and says, are you sure you heard right? You mean when that happened? Another thought.
Well, doubt set in.
2 Corinthians, we're in Galatians.
2 Galatians. At that.
Verse 6, in chapter 1. I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is really not another. But there be some that trouble you that would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which you have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we've said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that you have received, let him be accursed. Now the gospel that you received was the day of Pentecost, when Christ shed his spirit, or God shed his sperma, Christ, on all flesh. But it was also the gospel that Paul had preached. So it's the gospel, it's critical you see this, that we have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God? For do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. Think about that. Is there anything in your life in which you are pleasing men? Then you cannot serve Christ. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man, for I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. For you have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it, and profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals in mine own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my father. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his Son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen, namely, I conferred not with flesh and blood, neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me. But I went into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. Then after 3 years I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days. But other of the apostles I saw none save James, the Lord's brother, etc., etc. He withdrew himself. How did he, and why did he, and where did he go? It says he went into Arabia. He went into the desert. And what he did was to make sure that what he had seen in of Christ was confirmed in the scriptures. I know a lot about that place. Because I promise you, and this sounds not a cliche, I tried to find a loophole. I tried to find a place where this mystery of God didn't cost me my life. And I searched the scriptures to try to find that place, not to learn anything. Anyway, back to Luke.
This is neat about, he compares the his being called and the son revealed in the just your natural birth, which you don't have anything to do with.
Amen.
You know, it's like it just happens. It's just, I never have noticed it.
Amen. And he withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed. The wilderness is Eremos, a place of solitary, uninhabited, desolate. And he prayed. And it's prosuchomai. Let's look at some of those words and then we'll quit for today. Let's go to Romans 8. Verse 20. For the creature, you and I, was made subject to vanity. Subject to vanity, meaning subject to fruitlessness, inability, feebleness.
And then it says, not willingly.
That's right. Not willingly. Nobody chose that. But by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. What is the hope? Remember, 1,000,000,000,000 times. Oh, God.
1,000 times. You get a fanfare.
What you say is true.
The thousands, many times, you have obstacles been placed in your path. Hoping, God, hoping in his hope, you would stop insanity. You are grieved. I'm going to quote Isaiah. Thou art wearied in the greatness of your way, yet you sayest not, there is no hope. For thou hast found the life of thine own hand, and therefore thou wast not grieved. Isn't that what's happened? 1,000,000,000 times you've come to the end of yourself. But you obstinately and determinedly forged on ahead. And that's what's admired by the human race. But it's evil from God's standpoint.
But you don't hear that much. You hear the tough gets tough, the tough get going.
Back to, but we're still in Romans.
Romans.
Because the same place we were, Romans 8. Because the creature itself, in verse 21, shall also be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet pray hope for? But if we hope for that which we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And that same word for prayer or pray is there. Prosuchomai, or prosukomai, however you pronounce it. We pray, but in all honesty, most of the time we have no idea what to pray for. But the praying is that act which puts us in the place of subjection unto him, slowly but surely, or hopefully rapidly. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
That's a good place to stop. Gary, please turn your cell phone off. Well, now we're over. You can turn it back on now.
After the fact.
We take it, big guy.
I just forgot to turn off the cell phone.